Father, we just thank you again for this time, this place, the hearts of the people to be here, Lord. Just the opportunity to learn how to learn of you by studying your word. We just so look forward to see what you're going to do with this evening and on through this study of the Bible as we go lesson by lesson. So with that in mind, let's just open up. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. What we want to do is, those of us who feel like they want to share something from their study, if they can, we can do that first. I know Wanda had questions for me, so before she gets going, does anybody else have, like, as you were going through it, was there something that spoke to you that you hadn't seen before that the Lord had kind of revealed to you? Well, yeah, I mean,
grace
it's
upon grace, not grace before grace.
Right, because it gives you the connotation that it just keeps getting heaped on and heaped on. So that's a good point. Anybody notice anything and Frank and I were talking about it earlier, in the first verse that seemed like you'd seen certain words before someplace else in the Bible? Absolutely. In the beginning. And as you read that in the beginning, and it takes you to Genesis, it takes you specifically to creation, right? And so John, in his epistle, his letter, his gospel, is taking us back to the Old Testament and tying down the fact that we're going to talk a little bit about creation. Now, in Genesis, who do we always think of as doing the creation?
God.
Well, the triune God.
That's the important issue, because it is the triune God. Because here it talks about the Word. Anybody think that was a written word, spoken word, a person? Person?
Jesus.
Jesus, absolutely.
Logos.
And what we're gonna see is that John's, the theme of his entire gospel is Jesus as God. And one of the things that cults will want to do is avoid that. They'll tell you they believe in Jesus, but it's, you know, as a prophet or as a great man. But if you ask them, well, do you believe he's God? They'll tell you, oh no, he's not God. He's not Jehovah. There's only one Jehovah, and Jesus can't be Jehovah. And the fact is, when you start reading through this, even in the first three verses, what is John saying to you, really? And what is John saying, and then what is God saying?
Jesus is God.
And it's very simplistic, right? Now, as we were going through the study, anybody have any questions they wrote down that they ended up getting an answer to as they continued to do the study? Anybody have something that, you know, I didn't know what this was, but then I read down here and, gee, now I understand it better?
I had problems with John 1:3. I could not define it further. I mean, all things were made through him, and with him nothing was made that was made. I mean, I prayed. I couldn't get any extra...
Yeah, but you got it. You just said tonight exactly what that was about. And that's what he wanted you to see. You know? And it's as simple as that. I'm going through Leviticus, okay? And I'm not doing it with Pastor Will. This is my personal study, right? And I'm just using my Bible and, you know, I'll go through it and I'll read it. And I shared with her. I've read it before. But in rereading it this time around, God has shown me different things. and things I hadn't noticed before. And it's going to be the same with this. As you go through this and you read it and you meditate on it and you continue to ask God to make revelation, that revelation will come. And then you're going to say, well, I didn't get past these three verses. And the fact of the matter was, you got exactly those three verses. All that really is to take at this point. Now, sometime in the future, you may get more out of it. But right now, that's what you got. So you got, you got your answer. Anybody else have anything?
Well, verse 1 goes down to verse 14 and 8.
Yes.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
All right. And what it all shows you, too, as you get into this is, it's got to be Jesus, right? Because when did God ever dwell among us? But in that form, right? He came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus. And so 14 ties you back to the first three verses. And as you go through it, you'll see that. You're going to see there's a little bit of a pause, right? He talks about somebody else.
John.
Right. And what does he say about John? A man, right? The difference between
God and man.
Exactly. And what it also tells me is God uses men. Now, does he need to? No. Why does he do it? Why was John used? You see what I'm doing, though? I'm taking this and I'm asking questions. And that's all we really wanted you to do this first time around. Ask yourself these questions and see if God then shows you. Now, most of us have studied John. How many have studied John more than twice? More than five times. When you first came to the Lord, what was the gospel everybody said you had to read?
John.
And this is the believer's book, is what they call it, right? Because it establishes the foundation for our faith, that Jesus is God. As you were going through it, did you have any other ones on?
No, I think
they got them?
I was trying to look at it as this is the first time I've looked at it.
Right.
Which is hard because I'm like you guys. There's more writing in the margins than there is on the written page. So it was kind of hard to do, but I tried to look at it as this is the first time. Right.
It's my Bible.
Yeah.
It's just like writing.
Yeah, and that, it is hard.
It was very hard because I know who the word is. Then I went back to Genesis and it kept saying God. Well, when it says God, I know it's Elohim. But if I'm looking at this the first time, I don't know that.
Right.
So yeah. Then it says, so this tells me Jesus did, was the Word in the beginning and was the Creator. But when I turn back to Genesis, it says God.
Right.
It doesn't say Elohim, it says God.
Right.
And God breathed the breath in. So my first question to him was, well, okay, who did it, God or Jesus? And he said, yes.
See, you got your answer.
Now you know why I ask him questions.
Very, very simple, but you know what? Well, John Corson used to say it's profoundly simple and simply profound, because it is. The Word of God is that to us. But the reason we did that was that we're going to build on that now in the coming weeks, using other tools, if you will. And tonight, we're going to take a look at tools, and one tool specifically. The thing to me is, you can't do the job without the right tool, right? Wanda and I, when we moved into our place and we had to do all this renovating and remodeling, we quickly discovered that you can't just speak that into existence. You actually have to do the work. And in order to do the work, you had to get the right tools. And the reason we didn't have any tools is because when we left Okeechobee, we either sold or gave away all of our tools. My son-in-law got a lot of my tools. And so we didn't have anything. I didn't even have a saw, you know. I had a hammer, but I used that to start the car. But we didn't really have anything. So we became very friendly with the guy at Harbor Freight. He loved us because we were in there every week for a new tool. But as a result, you know, we were able to do things. I mean, I realized the beauty of having a nail gun when you're putting trim up. I mean, that is even better than a hammer. So it's the same with studying the Bible. You need the right tool, right? You need the right tool. Now, the best tool for any Bible study is, this is going to astound you, the Bible. You know, you can say, yeah, Fred, duh, everyone knows that. But here's the thing. There are a lot of folks that don't. I mean, a lot of folks have a Bible, but they don't even bother trying to do what you did last week. They say, well, I can't understand this. Let me go out and buy this book because it talks about it, or this commentary, or let me go to this website, or let me do this. And they're just totally defeated before they get started because they didn't start at the beginning as God did. What a perfect plan, right? Let's start at the beginning. No, I want to start at the finish. You start at the beginning, and the beginning is the Bible itself. So you don't need to go out and spend a lot of money on all this other stuff. We'll get to that stuff, and it has a place. But the first place you want to start is the Bible. So now you, okay, now you know you need a Bible. How do I find the right Bible? What is the right Bible? And here's the good news. Because we're all different, there's all different Bibles. There's all different versions and styles that you can choose from. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't work too well. It's like going shopping with my wife. These are the try-ons and these are the maybes. And I hold them, you know, the hangers, right? Because there's too much variety. And so sometimes people do that with the Bibles. They go, well, I don't know what Bible I want, so let me look at all these different Bibles. And then you start looking at Bibles and you're saying, well, I need to know other things, you know, because well, there's Bible translations, there's these study systems. And you know what? I like a kind of a purple Bible, you know, because it goes with my eyes. You know, I mean, you have these decisions and, you know, they can be tough. But then you also come to, well, what translation? Last week we were talking about which translation should I buy? I mean, you got the NIV, which is a nearly inspired. No, it's the New International. You have the New American Standard Bible. You have the New Living Translation. You got the Old King James. Do you want Red Letter Bible? You know, a lot of people like the Red Letter Bible. Some don't. I happen to like the Red Letter Bible, and that red letter means that Jesus spoke that part of the Bible, right? Or do you just want a basic Bible? Maybe you have a little concordance and you have maps. Or maybe you want a study Bible, and the study Bible is altogether different too, because it gives you more insight from the author of the study Bible, whoever that might be. I brought some Bibles tonight, and I'll let you look at them. So you get an idea. Do you want a Bible with a great cross-reference section? What do you really need? Some people like, do I want a Bible that's a chronological Bible? What's the chronological Bible, Fred? It's a Bible that actually arranges all the books in the years that we suppose they were written. And if you look at it, and I've got a handout, if you look at it, the first book that they really can't identify when it was written, but the first book in the chronological Bible is what?
Job.
Job. Do you know what the first book in the New Testament is?
I don't know.
It's not a gospel.
Yeah.
It's James. And that shows you when they were written. So maybe you want that. I mean, some people like to know that. They like to know the history and what was going on. But the translation, and you know, that's kind of important. We've had, you know, people from other denominations will come in and they'll tell you, you know, if the King James Version was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me, right? Yeah. But obviously he didn't read the King James. It wasn't available to him. Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. So maybe it's the King James. Some people grew up with the King James. And I know when I came to the Lord, the first Bible I got was a King James Bible. But everybody, you know, there's something, and sometimes the tradition or the attachment to that first Bible, you don't want to leave it. And that's okay. If that's the Bible that you best are able to understand, then that's great. But you have to understand, too, that any translation is just that. It's a translation. And what it is man trying to take the Word of God from one language, for instance, the Old Testament, the Hebrew and the Aramaic, to another language, English. Now, if you might go from Greek to English. And what you find with some of these languages is that they have many words that are the same, but the meaning is different. And so now you have to look at context. So there's even an art to the translation. There's really two fundamental methods that are used in translating the Bible. And these are big words, so sorry about that. I don't like to use them because I don't always understand them myself. But if I don't, I won't be able to explain this to you. The two basic approaches to understanding these original languages and translating them into English are what are sometimes called formal equivalents. What does that mean? It means a word-for-word translation. And we'll get into why that's important. But the other method they may use is what they call a dynamic equivalence. And that's not so much a word-for-word, phrase-for-phrase, as it is a thought-for-thought. And so they're trying to capture the thought of the original writer in the words that are used. And again, that's a challenge because you're looking at Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek, and you're trying to find the closest word or phrase or thought so you can understand what the author was trying to convey to you. The thing is that no translation is ever going to be perfect because obviously when you are transferring words, phrases, and ideas from one language into another, there could be some hiccups. Now, the beauty of all this, and we'll talk about it in a minute, is even if there's a few hiccups, it's a divinely inspired word. So God speaks to you, even through the hiccups, right? So the formal equivalence is, again, that word for word, clause for clause, sentence for sentence that they will use, but they want you to be able to read it. An example of a formal equivalence translation would be the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, Young's Literal Translation of the Holy Bible, and the actual original King James Version. And if you were to compare verse 114 in that way, the American Standard says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then you look at the New American Standard, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Essentially, the same translation, even though one is new and the other one was the original. But then Young's says this, "And the Word became flesh and did tabernacle among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of an only begotten of a Father, full of grace and truth." So there's a subtle difference there. And we know that the Jews, when they spoke about tabernacling, they were talking about dwelling. So this translation was trying to capture more of that original. And then King James, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So very similar to the American Standard. And that makes sense because they're trying to take the Greek language and translate it using the words and phrases that were originally written. And so they should be close. There shouldn't be much of a variation. Now, in the dynamic equivalence, they're trying to allow the Scripture to have the same impact on us today as it did hundreds and thousands of years ago in the original language to the people. And that's their thought process. So even though it makes the text more readable, the translators have to be very careful, because sometimes they will, instead of translating, they'll paraphrase. And a paraphrase is not a translation. How many of you are familiar with The Message by Eugene Peterson? So you know what that, yeah. That's a paraphrase. And the problem with the paraphrase is Mr. Peterson, in some cases, has taken liberty with the actual translation of the Bible. So he's inputted his thoughts and his theology in some cases. So you want to try and avoid that kind of a Bible. I mean, for somebody new that maybe they just came to the Lord, if they started with The Message and that's the way the Lord spoke to them, okay. But if they really want to study the Bible and if they really want to learn about the Lord, they need to get a translation. I always tell people that. And again, I have a copy of one of those little Message Bibles with me. Now, examples of this dynamic equivalent would be, again, that New International Version, the New King James, and the New Living Translation. And when you look at their comparison, the New International Version, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the New King James says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the New Living, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Now here you see, there's more of a difference in the translation. Why? Well, they're trying to capture thoughts, and not so much the exact words. And they convey, I mean, the New Living Translation conveys the same thought as the other two, but it says human instead of flesh. And we know what that is. And it says that he made his home among us, where the New King James has dwelt among us. The thing with the New King James is it uses the basic King James Bible and eliminates the these and the thous and some of the other language. You know how Pastor Will teaches from that, and on Sunday morning sometimes he'll tell you a word and then he has to explain, well, back then the word meant this, and today the word we would understand would be this. Well, that word that you would understand today is what's in the New King James. It's already been done. So you're probably sitting there saying, Fred, well, why in the world do we have to have all these different translations? I've always said the same thing Pastor Chuck always said, because we're all different. Everybody learns different. Everybody has a different take on the Word of God. But if it's a translation and it's a good translation, it doesn't matter. It's how the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you through God's Word. And sometimes things change. And there's a reason you have to update. Sometimes the change is because there's a new archaeological find that supports something in the Bible that we didn't understand before. And so now the translators will say, oh, that's what they were talking about. And then they'll take that Hebrew word that spoke of it, and they'll translate it differently based on that latest information. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, Bibles were, in effect, kind of looked at again, and some of the translations had slight changes as a result of that. The amazing thing about the Dead Sea Scrolls was that if you took and studied them, 95% of what they had is what you find in your current day Old Testament. That's how accurate the Bible is. See, God wrote it. He doesn't make mistakes. And so that shouldn't really shock us, but for some reason it does, because how many other books do you know that have ever been written and have been changed, remain that close to the original? There aren't any, especially after thousands of years. So you look at the translations and you find one that you think you really like, and you begin to study that. When people first came out with the New King James Version, a lot of the old timers that grew up on the King James resisted it. Pastor Chuck said, no way. You're never going to read that. You're never going to teach that from that Bible. And do you know, for the last 30 some odd years of his life, Pastor Chuck taught from the New King James Bible? I mean, because he saw that it was really a good translation. All it did was, again, remove some of the archaic words and the old King James language. But the words itself, you know, the thoughts and what the Holy Spirit was trying to teach people was very constant. And I like the New King James for that reason. It's easier for me. However, I still have my old King James. And when Pastor Will is teaching from the old King James, I can follow along in my New King James and not miss a beat. I mean, there'll be a words that he'll use, and I'll say, oh, I don't remember what that was, and then he'll explain it. But for the most part, I can have this, and this is what I bring every Sunday morning, and I can follow along. Now, is it because I'm such a great Bible student? No. It's because I tune into the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit makes revelation. So what I'm trying to say is, what you have to decide is what translation best ministers to you where you are right now, based on everything, you know, your history with the Lord and everything else. And then once you do, that's the translation you really want to stay with. It becomes like an old friend. It becomes like, you know, you sit down, and the Bible should be the old friend. It should be the, you know, you sit down. I have a friend that I've known for 66 years, right? And we grew up together. And I can not talk to him for a year, and she's amazed because we get on the phone and we pick up the conversation that's a year old. We're old friends. Well, you can do this on a daily basis. You can pick this up if you've left off with the Lord. We said verses 1 to 18. I think there was a young lady here last week with you, right? And she was afraid that she wouldn't be able to get through it. And I told her, well, it doesn't matter. It's what the Lord allows you to get through. The thing we try to do is to say, let's set aside that 20 minutes every day to spend with our Lord and Savior, to spend with our Creator, to spend with our Father. So you do that by finding that translation. I shared with the folks last week that when we were in Okeechobee and I was teaching from the New King James, we had a little old Baptist pastor show up at church one day. He was 95 years old, and his ministry was snowbirds. So in the summer, he was kind of off. So he would visit different churches. And he came to our church and he said, you know, I liked what you were teaching, but you know, you got to teach from the King James, you know, that 1611 version. You're not using the Authorized Version. You're using that New Age Bible. And I thought to myself, okay. I said, you know what? Just like what I told you, the wonderful thing about the translations is that it's the Holy Spirit that truly makes the revelation. So whether I use the New King James, the Old King James, the New Living, or whatever, it's not me that is speaking, it's God that is speaking, and it's His Spirit that is explaining and expounding. And he thought about that, and he said, well, I don't agree with that. And I thought after he left, well, that'd be the end of Dale, he won't be back. 2 weeks later, he came back and he said, you know what? I see some merit with what you're saying, but I'm still going to teach from the old King James. And that's great. I mean, he had that kind of loyalty and, you know, that was what he grew up with. A lot of times that's what really determines the translation, right? Our tradition. This is what I grew up with. My senior pastor taught from this, and that's why I love it so much. Because I went through these different versions, and I'll pass some of them around. You can take a look at them. Not that I bought a lot of Bibles. That's the Message. That is the New Living Translation. This is a chronological. Okay. Let me slide that over. Oh. This is actually Pastor Chuck's kind of study Bible. It's called the Word for Today Bible. Yeah. I mean, they're great. This is a New King James. And this is what they call a Life Application Bible. Life Application Bibles are great Bibles. Because not only do they give you little nuggets, on the bottom of the page they have all kinds of information, verse by verse, just about. This is, happens to be a King James. This was one of the first Bibles I ever purchased. And it got to be too heavy, so I just stopped bringing it. Anyway, I was working out, and you know. But those are some of the different types of Bibles that are available. Do you have to have one of each? No. Do you need a good one that can help you in your study? Yeah, I think so. And it's a good investment. You can go on Amazon and you can get these things. And I guess the Family Christian closed down, so that's not available anymore.
They're closing the other one too.
Yeah. They said they were closing them all eventually. They went into...
Well, they're closing all the Family Christian ones. They're also closing the last Christian store that was next to the Alton Hospital. That's closing too.
Long's?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's one other one down on Colonial, but I forgot.
Lifeway.
Is
it still
open? It'll probably close, too. What's happening, obviously, is with Amazon and all these other places, is brick and mortar doesn't work anymore for them, so you'll be able to order everything online.
Charles had a really good store, and he closed it, but they told me at the First Baptist Church, he had a store out of there.
Still has one? No. But anyway, so these things are available to us. Now, one of the reasons that I happen to like a pocket Bible is it's easy for me to keep in my truck and to bring into places, and it's very portable. It's not as portable as a phone or a mini iPad, but it's still small. I noticed a few months ago, we were at a men's prayer, devotion, breakfast, whatever, and the fellow got up to teach, and everybody at the table pulled out their Bible. And just saying, I don't know if this is an age thing, but all the young people pull out their phones or their pads, right? And all the guys my age pulled out the hardcover, because we just like that smell, you know, that binding.
It's the real thing.
I always have to hold it, you know. But I also thought about it afterwards, and what the Lord shared with me was, you know, if you're sitting in the doctor's office, we shared this last week too, and you have an iPhone, and you start reading your Bible, that's all well and good. But if I'm sitting across from you, I have no idea what you're reading. However, if I'm sitting there and I open this up and the words Holy Bible are on the outside, you'll never know what kind of opportunity that can open up for you. You'll never know who you're ministering to just because you brought your Bible into a place where they don't usually see them. And so that's why I like having a little pocket Bible. Again, it's not necessary. It's just one of those things that I feel very good about and very comfortable with. You know, you could bring this in and it could be the beginning of a life-changing conversation with somebody, right? Hey, why are you reading that? Well, I'm glad you asked, you know. I'm reading it because I want to hear from God. Well, you really believe God wrote that? Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. There's things in here that there's no way any man could have written. There's prophecies in here that are completed that were written hundreds of years prior, you know, that doesn't happen. There's names mentioned. You know the name Cyrus was mentioned in Isaiah 250 years before he was born? And he was going to be the one that was going to take Babylon down? And obviously he did. I mean, that's how specific prophecy is. And if you read that and you don't understand that this has to be God talking, well, then you have another situation. Now, even though having these other Bibles, these life applications and study Bibles, you know, they're wonderful tools. The thing is, don't fall in love with the tools, right? Don't immediately go to, you know, a power saw if all you're doing is cutting off one piece of wood, right? I mean, by the time you get that thing out and you get it plugged into the whatever, and you know, you right? Why do you need to do that? If you have the opportunity to do something with a tool that's right there. And what I'm saying is, they're wonderful tools, but if we rely on them too much, what are we doing, really?
Actually, we're crippling ourselves.
Amen. Because we're listening to what some man has to say to us. We're not listening to what God has to say to us. We're not listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. You know, and that's really what this should be. This should be our time to boldly go to His throne of grace, not only with our prayers, but with our opportunity to ask questions and to hear from Him. You know, it's always a dialogue. God doesn't want a monologue. And neither do I. And that's why we give you homework. We want you guys to, you know, to come in and say, you know what, Pastor Fred, last week I was reading in the study that you told us to look at, and I, for the first time I saw this, and I think I'm going down the path that God wants me to go down, but I still have some questions, and that's great. Because without the question, there can't be an answer. And if you're not looking at this and having questions, anybody know everything there is to know in this? I don't. We're not going to know everything there is to know in this until we get to heaven. I mean, and then it's going to be amazing. You won't need a book. But don't fall in love with the study Bible. Don't fall in love with the other tools. Start, as we did last week, with your Bible, with that pencil, and with that paper. Read the scripture, make notes, ask questions, you know, and then use some of your own knowledge from having read different areas of the Bible. That's why we say the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible, because you're always going to find something in it, and it's going to be, you know what, I've seen this before. And now, once you've done that, then pull out a study Bible if you want, or a life application Bible. Pull out something that has references or footnotes. Pull out the maps or whatever that you might find in some of these Bibles. Use that and then let that, you know, kind of sink in. And then go back to your questions and see if any of it's been answered as you, you know, use a different tool. So what we want to do next week, we're going to do John chapter 1 again. But we're going to do verses 19 to 28. And we're going to start, just like we did last week, with our Bible. Just the Bible, not the notes and everything else. And our pad and our pencil. And we're going to ask the Lord to show us what it is He wants to reveal to us in this time that we have with Him. That time's precious, you know. I always get a kick out of people that just open the Bible and they don't really sit down and write anything. They open it, but they don't let it really minister to them. It's like if I had an audience with King Trump. I mean, President Trump. I did that just like Will does. But if I had that audience with him, I mean, this is the most powerful man in our country. I would want to get as much information out of him as I could, so I'd be taking notes. Well, now you have an opportunity to sit down with the Creator of the universe and hear from him. And why wouldn't you want to take notes? Or even if, like Wanda does, she writes in her Bible. A lot of people like to do that, write in their Bibles. And that's fine. In fact, there are even Bibles that have a note section where you can write notes. And that's really what you should be doing. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's Word, minister to you, and maybe even answer some questions that you have, not just about that specific study, but about your own life. One of the things that I find in reading John, especially last week, when we're told that, you know, Jesus is God, and that He loves us so much that He came and dwelt among us. Somebody once said, well, why did He have to come and dwell among us, you know? because he needed to communicate with us. What does Jesus do? He's manifesting God to us in the flesh. So he's describing for us who God is through his own life. Now, again, I go back to John Corson. He was talking about if you went out and you had this fire ant mound and you started screaming at the ants, they probably wouldn't understand a word you were saying. But if you went down into the mound as an ant, now you can get their attention and talk to them. Well, Jesus came down in the flesh to get our attention so he could talk to us. And because he loves us. And so you're going through something maybe this week, last week, next week, and you're saying, well, Lord, why is this happening to me? Open up his word, you get an answer. And one of the answers is going to be because I love you and I'm going to be with you. And you're not going through this alone. And by the way, I'm God. You know, just in case you weren't sure. Yeah, I am. I'm God. And the Bible says that he has our thoughts. He has thoughts toward us more numerous than the sands of the ocean, right, or of the sea. And just think about that. He's thinking about us that much. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. And yeah, Frank, he one. but he knows that one, Frank. But he knows that one intimately, Frank. So that's the important issue. But let him minister to you. And just receive that love. And understand this is a love letter. And he just wants to spend that time with you. 20 minutes a day, really. Remember what we talked about last week? How much time do you spend on TV? How much time do you spend on the internet? How much time do you spend with hobbies? How much time do you spend, right, eating on the iPhone? And then all he wants from you is 20 minutes a day. Yeah, I don't think that that's too much to ask for many of us. And if you don't get it the one day, then that's okay. Because the other thing is, he knows your heart. If something comes up that you just can't find a time because you just something else came up, he understands that. But the fact that your heart is to spend that time with him, that's the important issue. Any questions? Yeah.
You said stick to one translation. Do you see any problems with using one translation mainly, but having other translations?
No, I do that. Because sometimes you might be struggling with a translation, and so you take a fresh look. And the fresh look is, let me look at it in the New Living Translation.
I prefer one translation. There are times where in that one translation, it's just not quite clicking.
Yeah.
I open another one that I may not really like once at a time, it just makes sense right away.
Right.
For that one passage.
Right, right, yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, they have parallel Bibles for that very thing.
Well, you can get every translation you can possibly think of.
Right. I mean, so that's, it's not there, you know, for you not to use. But what you'll find is, like you said, there's going to be that one translation you keep going back to all the time, and it's like an old friend, and so you use it. Any other questions? Any thoughts?
So we're supposed to use just the Bible only again?
No, you use just, you know, the plain Bible, right, just the Scripture. And then you go back, and if you have a study Bible or a life application Bible or any of these special Bibles with the little footnotes or anything like that, use that. And you could have that on your iPhone, too. I know there's a lot of applications out there today. You don't have to buy books anymore. It's a beautiful thing that we have the Internet if we use it properly, right? Because there's a lot of free online stuff. We have one on our website. We talked about it last week, the Blue Letter Bible. And there's a lot of information in that website. We'll talk about that next week, how we can use some of these other applications. But for this week, let's stick with the Bible, life application, study, whatever, cross-reference, whatever you happen to have, and see and write stuff down so that we can talk about it next week. Yeah.
I have a Bible with strong numbers, but I wouldn't pronounce it. I like you said here, but I might want to avoid it for now.
If you have one that's got, that it's just a Bible, but it has the concordance or the Strong's.
Yeah, it's just like every word has.
Yeah, that's okay too. And we were talking about, you have a concordance, right, in yours. It's okay to use those. But what I'm saying is the first step is to use just the Word of God. And then, after you've exhausted it, and I don't mean read it once and say, well, I didn't get anything out of that. Let me go to the concordance, right? I'm talking about spend that time, meditate on it. What was the most important issue we talked about last week before you even opened the Bible up? You're praying. Pray to the Holy Spirit to make that revelation. Because if you do that and you're persistent and consistent, you're going to get it. I mean, Jesus tells us, you know, you don't have because you don't ask. And that's the truth of when we do a Bible. You open the Bible up. I haven't asked for any help. You know, and then I'm sitting there saying, well, why am I not getting this? Well, you didn't ask. Yeah.
One thing, years ago, just the way I was really frustrated because I wanted it all at once.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I wanted to be able just to know everything all the time. And finally came to a transitional point where I believe God talked to me and he said, just enjoy this and I will teach you.
Yes. Amen.
And that's just my mantra ever since.
Yeah.
I just enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, it shouldn't be, you know, a work.
Yeah.
I mean, it
like
should be.
Frustrated all the time.
Yeah, and
I don't know everything.
You know, and that's it. God wants us to enjoy the study of His Word. And whatever that takes, it takes.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get it all at once. You know, the brother said he didn't get it all at once and it frustrated him. Well, that's us. That's today's people, right? That instant gratification, we all seek it. I want to know, I want to be satisfied, I want to have it. And God says, yeah, okay, I'll give it to you in a day. You know what that is, 1,000 years. So, I mean, he's on a different time schedule, right? So, here's the thing. As long as we're on this earth, in this flesh, we're never going to get it all. And we're not meant to. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, if he was so easy that we could understand him, he wouldn't be, you know, worth being a God to us, right? Our God is so big and so immense that we will not understand everything and we won't get everything. But we're going to get everything we need. And that's another thing, because his Spirit is there ministering to us. Amen?
Amen.
Does anybody have any other questions? All right, well, let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for this time. And Lord, we thank you that you make available to us all these different tools and just the ability to understand everything you want us to understand at this point in our walk with you. And we know we're going to continue to grow in you even as we study your word. And so we look forward to opening it up this week and, as the brother said, enjoying our time with you. Not so much like a dentist appointment, but more like an appointment of love. That we get to spend that time with you. We look forward to it, Lord. Pray that you would give us a fresh filling of the Spirit tonight. And as we open up our Bible in the morning, you would speak to us again through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.